I'm going to say my name's Craig for the people listening to the podcast because everybody else knows who I am. Excuse me. Okay, so this is a pretty serious part of Scripture. We just heard about the death of Jesus, and now I'm going to go through that in a little bit more detail so we can understand why that happened. So we've looked into Luke's Gospel quite a bit to see what the Gospel of Jesus is all about. So what's the big push when everyone's going to the beach with a group of friends or with their family out for a picnic? We hear it on TV ads as well. If you go to the beach and you're up for a swim, where you swim, you should swim where? Yeah, that's right. So what colour are these flags? That's right. There you go. Red and yellow flags. So what happens if we don't swim in between these red and yellow flags? Can do. get into big trouble. So you need to make sure that you're swimming between the flags. Otherwise, you could get caught in a rip and get dragged out to sea. So about 30-odd years ago, myself, my wife and her brother went down to the beach one day. And we were down there in the afternoon and we had this little paddle board trying to paddle on that. I kept falling off all the time. Anyway, we're sitting on the beach for a little bit, chilling out, and we saw this guy outside, about 100 metres away from the flags, hand up in the air, and we thought, what are we going to do? We can't. We got to. So I grabbed the board and started heading out. Lee's brother started to swim, and Lee went up to the surf club. While Lee was running up to get some surf lifesavers down, I'm trying to paddle out thinking, no, don't fall off, don't fall off, don't fall off, because I've been falling off all day. Anyway, I paddled all the way out to this guy and I didn't fall off. It was crazy. When I got there, he was head face down in water. So I grabbed him and dragged him up on the board. Brian's still swimming out. I started giving this guy mouth to mouth. This gentleman happened to be an Asian guy and Asians love garlic, right? So there's waves, it's up and down, my teeth are clutching with him as I breathe into his lungs and then I take a breath myself. I nearly hurl up because his flavour of garlic from his lungs is going in and out of mine. But I kept doing it, Finally, Ryan got out to me, out to us, and he started dragging the board back in and myself. While that was happening, I kept giving mouth to mouth, kept trying not to heave up because it was pretty full on. My brain's telling me, why are you doing this madness? Why are you kissing this 60-year-old guy who's absolutely reeked of garlic? Our teeth are clashing. It's like crazy stuff. I didn't know Jesus at the time, so it was nothing to do with doing the godly thing. I just kind of had this thing in me that this guy's got no hope at all. We just got to keep on going. So Ryan arrives, and he grabs me and the guy on the board, and I'm kind of helping him swim back to shore. By the time I got back to shore, Lee had turned up with the Surf Life Rescue guys. They took over mouth to mouth and started CPR. The guy ended up gaining consciousness, which is absolutely amazing. So if we did nothing, he would not have survived. But because we did something, because we breathed breath into his life at the time that he needed it, we rescued him and he got back to the shore and then came back to consciousness. Now, we just heard of a pretty serious part of Scripture. Jesus is crucified, nailed to the cross with two others beside either side of him. He's mocked and reviled. He's even insulted by one of the guys nailed on the cross beside him. Jesus then says this amazing thing while nailed to the cross. Now, we'll get into that and we'll see what God's saying about this part of Luke and what we should do about it. So if you guys here tonight are Christian, that you are trusting Jesus, don't switch off. Listen to the reality of what Jesus has done and consider it even more deeper and more profound. If you're still on a journey in trusting Jesus, don't just think it's too late at all. It's never too late. You haven't done things that are bad enough. He can still do something for you. So we're going to look at this in two different parts. So part one, why is Jesus on the cross? He's pure, he's perfect, and he's sinless. The The Roman cross was designed to kill in an extremely painful, terrifying and demoralizing way for those people who were judged guilty. Luke 23:32 and the second part of 33 says, two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. They crucified him there along with the criminals, one on his right and the other on his left. Jesus then says the most mind-blowing thing at the time. He's got nails through his hands. He's got nails in his feet. Even before that time, he was beaten to a pulp. He was spat on, whipped with a leather whip that had chunks of bone and pieces of metal at the ends of it that were designed to rip flesh out of people's backs and sides when they were whipped with it. They'd given Jesus a bit of this. His beard was ripped off. He's been through so much more than any one of us could ever bear. But he says, after all of that, nails in his hands, nails in his feet, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. I don't know if your mind can go to where Jesus was at that time and what he'd been through, but I know if it was me, all I could do was probably yell, let alone say comprehensive words, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. So let's think about that for a minute. After all that he's been through, now nailed to the cross, in that very moment, nailed on the cross, he asked the Father to forgive them. So who's he asking forgiveness for? The thieves on the cross, they jeered him. The Roman soldiers who had mocked him, they'd spit on him, they'd beaten him, yanked out his beard, whipped him, put a crown of thorns on his head, and then they nailed him to that cross. Angry mob that had mocked him over and over again for years on end, the ones that called for his crucifixion, they needed forgiveness. That's who Jesus was asking forgiveness for. However, Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now that all included all of those people and people groups that I just mentioned, but also you and me. All people for all time. We have all sinned against God. We all fall short. We're not perfect, holy, or right in his eyes. We've broken his holy commandments, his rules, laws. Therefore, we are under his holy and right judgment. Jesus pleaded for the forgiveness of all those that I just mentioned, as well as for you and for me. If all sinned and we need forgiveness, then we need to be saved from God's righteous and holy judgment. So if God's forgiveness leads to God's saving, why do we need saving, and saving from what? So the second part, what Jesus achieved on the cross by dying this horrifying death that he did not deserve. Jesus didn't deserve this death at all, and it was horrifying. How does forgiveness tie in with this saving or salvation? What has forgiveness got to do with saving? Let's find out. There's a Greek word in this passage that's used four times, and it's called sozo, and that's translated into save or saved. And it's used four times in this passage, either as something that had happened in the past or of something that is to happen in the present then and future as well. It's used in reference in this passage to Jesus four times. If Jesus is asking the Father to forgive them, and this is integral to saving and salvation, then from what or who do they and us need saving from? The guy in the surf needed saving from the waves, saving from drowning. I needed saving from garlic and teeth smashing on mine. Not really. That guy was as good as dead. He needed someone to do that saving for him. He was gone. If we didn't jump in and do something, he would have died. We find out in many different areas of the Bible that God is holy, pure, and clean. All humanity has sinned against God. Romans 3:23 says that. We also read that we, all people, are not perfect or holy or pure or clean. Why are we this way? Because of our sin, our rebellion against God. It's impossible to meet His standards, to be perfect as He is. Sin needs to be judged by God as its rebellion against Him, a breaking of His holy laws. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ, our Lord." So part of this actual judgment is death in this life. But we all die, right? So we're all under judgment, right? No. Even though we all die in this life. So how are we saved then, if we still die? We're saved from the eternal judgment of our sin. So after death in this life, we either go to Jesus or we go to eternal death or the place of eternal judgment, hell. The two criminals are judged guilty, and that their judgment plays out in their crucifixion beside Jesus. We are all under the judgment of God, every single person ever born or to be born, as we were all separate from God because of our sin, because we broke His holy laws, His holy commandments. Therefore, we are already judged as guilty. When we are forgiven by God, we are no longer under His rightful judgment. We are saved from that judgment. So let's look at the four sozos, or the four saving or saved words used in reference to Jesus. Verse 35 says, "They said He saved others, let Him save Himself, if He is God's Messiah, the Chosen One." That's two savings out of four. The third, in verse 37, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." Number three. And the fourth one, and the last time in this set of scriptures, "One of the criminals who's hung there hurled insults at Him. 'Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us.'" Now, Jesus, being all-powerful as God-man, He could have saved Himself. He could have done that in an instant. He could have got Himself off the cross. However, if He did that, what happens to His people? What happens to you and me? Jesus' death was to pay for our sins, the sins of His people. So if He saved Himself and came off the cross in a mighty, triumphal way, which He absolutely could have done, we would all still be in our sins. We'd be unforgiven, not saved, and still under God's rightful judgment. Therefore, after dying in this life, suffering eternal death and condemnation into an eternal hell. Jesus knew this. He knew the eternal plan of God's salvation. Either we or another pay the price of our judgment for our sins. So let's take a look at the two criminals. Verse 39, "One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at Him. 'Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us.'" He hurled insults at Jesus. He had no knowledge or understanding of who Jesus was and is. Verse 40-41, "But the other criminal rebuked Him. 'Don't you fear God?' he said. 'Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong.'" This criminal knew that they were both rightly under God's judgment for the bad things that they'd done, whatever they were. And at that penalty for those bad things was crucifixion, the Roman death torture. But see what else he says. "But this man has done nothing wrong," verse 41. I reckon that these two knew exactly who Jesus was. There's no possible way in the three and a half years past that anyone living in Jerusalem or the local towns would not have known who Jesus was. He did thousands of miraculous things, including healing thousands of people, casting out demons, raising people from the dead, feeding more than 5,000 people at one time with a few loaves and some fish, feeding more than 4,000 people on another time with other loaves and fish. And he did other miraculous things. So they must have known who this Jesus was. However, one criminal didn't understand. And the other, by God's grace, knew and understood why Jesus was on the death cross. Because he said to Jesus in verse 42, then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. What kingdom? Remember me. What does that mean? Jesus' response in verse 43 says, Jesus answered him, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. Jesus said, because of my death, which was only moments away at that time, you, criminal, will be with me in paradise. So Jesus brought forgiveness to this criminal and saved him from eternal judgment into eternal paradise with Jesus and his people forever. How awesome is that? That's also the case for both you and me. Because Jesus did not save himself from the cross, he stayed there and continued to go through that agonizing pain till he breathed his last breath. We will live with him forever, free from eternal judgment. So we see that Jesus was crucified not for his judgment, for his own personal sin, for he had none. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 23 says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. But he died for our sins to take on our judgment. He which was judged in our place. He substituted himself for us, so we can be forgiven. Just as Jesus himself told the criminal on the cross beside him that he would have him in paradise with him that very day. And he needed this, his judgment paid for, saved from his punishment. By Jesus paying the judgment for him and saving him, he is now with Jesus right now. So for you guys who do know Jesus, hearing this, I hope, deepens your sense of gratitude, deepens your love for Jesus, a deeper desire to know what he has asked of us and follow that through. Of the absolute need of God's forgiveness for us, of the absolute need for saving from the penalty of your sins, of our sins, of my sins, which Jesus won on the cross by his death for us. Can you see why he could not come down from the cross and save himself, even though he could have? If you're still looking into Jesus and the forgiveness and salvation that he brings, can I encourage you to think deeply on those things, on this section of Luke's gospel, on how we hear about the one that's called the King of the Jews, who was nailed to a cross, who a criminal said that he didn't deserve to be there, that he had the absolute power to save himself from that, and he didn't. And he didn't because he wanted to give forgiveness to all his people, to you. He wanted to save you from the punishment of your sins, save us from the punishment of our sins, save me from the punishment of my sins. I encourage you to ask response group leaders later some other hard questions that you might be considering and that haven't been answered here. Consider the depth and the profundity of who Jesus is, the creator of all things, loved his creation so much that he was willing to leave the side of his Father in heaven, to be born to Mary, to be born from the Virgin, to live in God's perfect holy law absolutely, to die to pay for our sins and bring forgiveness to us. So as we come close to Easter next week, can I encourage you all to come to the Friday service at 9 o'clock, Good Friday service. If not, on Sunday, Easter Sunday, 10 or 6 o'clock is where your leaders will be, to get a fuller and deeper grasp of these amazing truths and to come into a greater community as well of God's people, of Jesus' people. For Jesus is our forgiver, Jesus is our Saviour, and He is our King. Let me pray. Father, we thank You that You know us profoundly well. Father, we thank You that You were not willing to allow us to perish in our sins. Father, we thank You for Jesus, for Him being obedient to You and coming into His creation, Your creation, and dying an incredibly terrifying, ugly and painful death to bring forgiveness to us, Your people, to bring salvation to us, Your people. Lord, we ask that You would speak this truth deeply and profoundly into our hearts, that we would know so deeply who You are and what You've done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.